This is the debut album from the Sejong Soloists, released in 1995, a recording we often share on WVIA. The Sejong Soloists began their career the year before that, when Professor Kang Hyo of the Juilliard School invited top-tier young musicians from 8 countries, primarily Korea, to form a string orchestra. Since then, the ensemble has performed over 700 times in over 120 cities around the world. The Sejong Soloists was the first Korean group to be invited to perform at Carnegie Hall. And from 1997 to 2005, they served as the resident chamber orchestra of the Aspen Music Festival. The Sejong Soloists have been recognized globally, showcasing Korea's musical talents worldwide. And the ensemble confirmed its commitment to new works by commissioning Murmurs in the Mist of Memory from Augusta Reed Thomas. The work was premiered at the Aspen Music Festival. Also at Aspen, the ensemble gave the premiere of Earl Kim's Dear Linda in 1999. National Public Radio, NPR, and the European Broadcasting Union regularly broadcast performances by the Sejong Soloists several times a year, and NPR's performance today selected them as the Young Artists in Residence in 2003. The Sejong Soloists also is an ensemble striving to nurture the next generation of musicians. Concert masters of the New York Philharmonic, the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra, the Montreal Symphony, and the Hamburg State Philharmonic have been Sejong members. While we have shared recordings by the Sejong Soloists often on WVIA, we've come to know the ensemble a bit more specifically through its ties to the esteemed American composer Earl Kim, whose parents came to the States from South Korea, and through award-winning composer Paul Salerni and his deep bond with Earl Kim. Paul Salerni was a student of Kim's at Harvard, and they became fast friends with love and respect that is indelible. Dr. Salerni and the Sejong Soloists have been working very hard to promote the music of Earl Kim and to keep his memory alive. This is music from Earl Kim's Violin Concerto with Itzhak Perlman, who is the soloist. It was a recent documentary film project on Earl Kim that served the end of bringing both the Sejong Soloists and Salerni into a position where they could each and both promote the work of Earl Kim and serve his memory. Sejong went on to host a screening of Earl that tells the story of the composer on October 1st, 2024 at Carnegie Hall, and Dr. Salerni was instrumental in the making of this movie by Tae Kim. Salerni appears throughout offering reflections on the composer and his music. Dr. Salerni has traveled to South Korea a number of times to present music by Earl Kim, and he's connected with a number of award-winning musicians over recent years, including soprano Yuna Lee, who was born in South Korea and earned her Bachelor of Music degree there before moving to the States to study at the New England Conservatory and before completing her master's degree and professional training at the Juilliard School and Juilliard Opera Center. She is on the faculty of the University of Arizona, and Dr. Salerni has invited her to perform in recital at Lehigh University this Sunday afternoon in a program titled More Food and Love. Dr. Salerni drove up from Bethlehem to talk with us about his ties to Earl Kim, about South Korea and his ties there, and the premiere of his Korean love songs.
Earl's ties to South Korea were not particularly strong. He, especially after his experience in the war, did not like to travel. And so he actually only went once and actually was relatively unknown in South Korea until he died. And then the Sejong Soloists, and I was invited to go along with them, did concerts of his music. and I think he's gotten better known as a result. He would say very clearly that he was not necessarily inspired by, directly by Korean folk music, even though he heard it in his house growing up. There's one early song cycle that actually quotes a Korean folk song, but I think there's a certain emotional quality, there's a certain aesthetic quality in Earl's music that reflects his Korean background. But he had very little direct connection to Korea. I had more direct because I've gone to Korea to do his music. In fact, that's how I met the soprano, who is the person who is going to sing this lovely concert on February 8th. In fact, I met her doing a piece of Earl's. We were doing a piece called Ajo, and she was doing the narration, and she was singing other things on this particular festival in Korea. And getting to know her there was the inspiration for writing these songs.
You've spoken with us before, and we've sampled some of your Italian food songs. And we know how important food is in the Italian culture and in your life. So those songs led to...
These songs. So Yuna Lee, the wonderful soprano who we met in Korea, after I heard her sing, said, oh, I want you to sing my Italian food songs because you would love them. And she did, and she recorded them with String Quartet, and that's on one of the CDs that came out on Albany Records. And she also liked my songs that have a visual component, that are ekphrastic, that are setting poems that describe images from paintings or photographs. And so she had me arrange those for her to sing. And she said, I love your food song, so you're going to write me some in Korean. And I said, well, that's a real challenge. I don't speak Korean. But it's a beautiful language to sing. Like Italian, has very open vowels, strong consonants, beautiful rhythm. So it's actually not difficult phonologically to set it. In terms of understanding it, yeah, that's a different story. But she found me the poems. So I knew that they would be poems that would speak to her and speak to her accompanist. And so that was nice. And the process was very interesting because she had to get a graduate student of hers at the University of Arizona to actually speak them for me so that I could hear exactly what they sounded like and to do kind of English-like translations of the sounds so I could make sure that I had the right scansion, I had the right rhythm, and I had the right sound in my head. And I understood what they were about. And I was thrilled that when they first sang them, they said, well, there are only a few awkwardnesses that don't really, you know, match up to the way you would say this or the meaning in Korean. So that was terrific. So I was tickled and they loved doing them.
Are the texts from different eras or are they contemporary?
They're all contemporary. On the concert, there'll be some songs by Zhang Yun that have more ancient poems. But yeah, I think these are all actually living. Most of them were by a pastor. And so they have a certain spiritual component to them, too.
Is there a food culture in Korea, South Korea?
Oh my God. One of my strongest bonds with my teacher was food. Oh, because, I mean, the first two times we had interactions outside of the normal professor-student interactions were over food. He invited us to go out for Chinese food, and he invited Laura and myself over for dinner, which was the large test, because he made Korean food. He made something called tteokbokki, which is a pork and tofu soup, and you put hot Korean pepper paste in it, gochujang it's called. And he said, how much do you want? And I asked for a lot. That was good. The second test on this was, Paul, what's the most beautiful moment in music? And I said, oh, that's when the low C comes in the finale of the second act of The Marriage of Figaro. So at that dinner, I think I actually passed my PhD oral exam. So food, yes. And we lived with Earl for a summer, and we would trade cooking. So he would teach me Korean dishes, and every other night I would cook Italian stuff. So food was absolutely central to our relationship.
What is the sense of the meaning of the text in terms of food? Is it metaphorical, or is it that we're bringing families together?
So the first one is called To My Children Eating, and it's an advice on how to eat properly. The third one is called, I love this one, that's my favorite one. It's called Taste of Potato, and how potato is, its taste keeps you calm. And that when, and it's kind of the best climactic moment in the piece, is when the poet, or this, at least in this case, the singer gets anxious or nervous, and the music gets all nervous, that, yes, eat a potato, it'll calm you down. It's pretty nice, yes. It's not just about the food. It's about larger issues.
And you are someone who is very sensitive to poetry and lyrics, as we know. And I'm delighted to hear that you were able to adapt and adopt the language in a way that was congenial. And what is the state of these songs?
So when we had all these food songs, if you think about the great quote from Shakespeare, music is the food of love, play on. Food and music, give love and food go together. And actually, Yuna and her longtime accompanist, Kyung Yun Na, gave a recital way back at Lehigh that had food songs and love songs. In fact, the new piece on the concert on February 8th is a set of Korean love songs. I actually wrote them in time for them to do a concert of this in Korea. This was part of a trip I made to Korea on behalf of the Sejong Soloists, where we did a concert of Earl's music. I did a lecture on Earl's music. And then as part of the festival, those two were going to come and premiere these new songs and do exactly the concert we're going to hear on February 8th, but Yuna got sick. So we couldn't do it. So this is actually compensation. So these songs have had a long gestation. And again, Yuna chose the texts and I set them. And they're also somewhat humorous and fun, but also serious love songs.
And does the fact that you're setting the Korean language affect your style, your choices? Obviously the text does, but the language too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It changes the rhythm. And also, and I don't know if this was conscious or subconscious, it turned out that so many of the melodies ended up being pentatonic, which is the scale that you would associate with most Asian cultures. Of course, my language has to be there, my particular contemporary language with some dissonances and stuff, but there's a lot of that in it. And again, I don't think that was conscious, it just came out. And I think it was a reaction to what the text required.
What is the overall, just in general, state of classical music in that world now?
Oh, God, it's wonderful. I mean, they have so many fantastic musicians. You know, many of them come and train here at Juilliard and at other conservatories. But it's a very lively culture. It's also a very lively popular culture. I mean, K-pop kind of rules the world. And some of the greatest movies being made today are in South Korea. I think it's a vibrant society culturally. My goodness. Besides the food, I like to go for the music.
So music, food, and love. So you have these pieces, but you also have Bernstein. Tell us about these pieces.
So that's one of his most popular pieces called Le Bon Cuisine. It's a set of pieces that are basically recipes, you know, how to cook a rabbit, how to make oxtail. And, you know, they're originally French, but this is sung in English. And they're funny, and they're Bernstein, so they're very tuneful, they're very rhythmic, they're very jazzy, and it's a lots of fun. But for me, the most interesting and new thing are the set of songs by Maria Graver, who I hadn't been aware that she's really the first great internationally known female Mexican composer. For classical music, but lots for popular music, that a lot of her popular music was sung by the great American singers. I mean, I actually think one of the pieces on it is really the Spanish language version of What a Difference a Day Makes. So she really knew how to write pop tunes. And the other thing that's interesting is that almost for all of her songs, she was also the poet. So this is a real talent that I didn't know about and will be a discovery for me. And I've actually heard Kyung Yun and Yuna do these pieces in a rehearsal, and they're really lovely and heartfelt and touching. So I hope, a revelation for our audience. Yeah, and Lee Sung-yeon, of course, is really one of the iconic South Korean classical composers, one of the first of the generation after the war to go study in Europe and spend time in Europe and to write, you know, really, you know, those knotty pieces that we were writing in the 50s and the 60s, but also someone who very much wanted to wed his culture with Western culture. And so the songs that you're going to hear are pretty harmonically Western, even though they're Korean texts and they have a real Korean sound to them. And very charming, very charming. And he was, you know, very strong political personality, actually was kidnapped by the South Korean police when he was in Germany because of his particular political views. But then the composition community came together and got him out. You know, he's one of the great, well-known South Korean composers of his generation.
We were talking about your food songs. I love the story about your coming across a book in a window in Italy with your name on it. Tell us that story.
Yeah, so during the academic year 1999-2000, my family spent a year in Italy. My kids went to public school. I had a semester of sabbatical, but a semester of teaching an interdisciplinary architecture and music program through Lehigh. And just before Christmas, I was walking down one of the two main streets, because it's a street we walk down every day to get the kids to school. And I saw my name on a book in the window. It said, Regimen Sanitati Salerni. And I said, what the hell is that? You know, Salerni is not a name that you would see up in the north. It's definitely a southern Italian name. So I wanted to figure it out. And so I went and looked at the book. And it's this series of poems that give advice about what a good, healthy diet should be. And it was written in 1066 in the medical school in Salerno, Italy, for the King of England, who obviously was suffering from some health issues. So I said, well, that's an interesting book. And of course, I told my wife, who is the best shopper in the world. And for Christmas, I got that book and I immediately sent them. And I was listening to a lot of Donizetti, so they have a very Italian operatic quality to them. And I love these songs.
Read the titles for us.
Of all the people in our household, because we all speak Italian now, my pronunciation is the worst. Della carne porcine. This is how to fix any pork product by using red wine. Dalla nausea marina. That's about mal de mer. It's about seasickness and how you fix that. Delle stagioni dell'anno. It's advice on what to eat during what season. Like, don't eat too much during the summer. And then kind of the centerpiece is del modo di correggere le cattive bevande. How is it that you fix bad drinks? This is the moment where there's a big coloratura, a cadenza, and a high C at the end. It's the one that's extracted most from the set. Del condimento universale. This is the universal condiment. It's actually a recipe for making salad dressing. Della lavatura della mani. This is how it is that you should wash your hands in order to avoid disease when you eat. And then finally, del pane, of bread. And this is advice for how you make really good bread.
Okay, tell us date and time and how we find it.
February 8th, Super Bowl Sunday, 3:00. Baker Hall, Zollner Arts Center. Just call the Zollner Arts Center box office. It should be a lot of fun. And let me assure the audience that they'll understand everything, even though it's done in Spanish, English, and Korean, and Italian, because we'll have super titles.
Paul Salerni, award-winning composer and distinguished chair in the humanities and professor of music at Lehigh University in Bethlehem. His status is emeritus now, after more than 40 years at Lehigh, inviting us to attend a recital titled More Food and Love, featuring the duo of soprano Yuna Lee and pianist Hyung-Yun Na, that will take place this Sunday afternoon at 3, and that's in Baker Hall at the Zollner Arts Center on the Lehigh campus. For more information on the web, zollner.cas.lehigh.edu, zollner.cas.lehigh.edu. Salerno.edu. And you are encouraged also to check Paul Salerni's own website, where you can hear more of his music and read more about his distinguished career. PaulSalerni.com, PaulSalerni.com, S-A-L-E-R-N-I, PaulSalerni.com.